Pop Talk and Aliens, the William Clear Podcast.
This is a little uncomfortable for me. Never thought I'd have to say it, but she's wrong, actually. For the first time in 8 years and 80 episodes. 8 years, 80 stars, ladies and gentlemen, and guess what? She's wrong. I am William Clear. This is a podcast. There is Pop Talk, sometimes. But there are no aliens. No aliens? The Pentagon has released a report, I'm sure you've heard about it by now, that unequivocally and with irrefutable proof assures us that the Pentagon has never been in possession of, nor is in possession now, of alien spacecraft. There's no reverse engineering projects. There's no biologics. There's no dead alien. It's all a bunch of shit. And they go blow by blow, case by case, to denounce this. Guess how many fucking pages this thing is? I mean, obviously, with all of that research, we are talking about 63 pages. And it's not even 63 pages, it's 40. Really, the actual contents are 40. Well, I mean, the table of contents takes up a few pages. And then the bibliography takes up a ton of pages. The content of their argument, 40 pages. And it's very much, spoiler alert, I don't buy into it. I'm sorry. Maybe that's just because I'm a UFO guy and I want to keep my delusions alive. And they talk about that. They even specifically mention podcasts. We'll get to that towards the end. But yeah, no, I don't buy it. It's like, I'm going to skip the sponsorship and all that. Let's get right into this thing. It's important, right? But if you want to follow the show at Pop Talk and Aliens on Instagram, please come on by. 24 hours a day, it's open. Would love to have you. But I want to get right into the meat and potatoes of this report. George Knapp, the UFO reporter. I mean, he's not a UFO reporter. He's an actual reporter. He's very legitimate. But I'm sure if you follow UFOs and UAP, you're familiar with George Knapp. He said that this report was like something Bart Simpson wrote the night before it was due. And that's not wrong. That's a pretty good analysis. His friend and, you know, sort of Gen X hero of UAP, Jeremy Corbell, said it was horseshit. Representative Tim Burchett from Congress, who was part of what mandated the Pentagon to create this report, said the people doing the cover-up are investigating the cover-up. And look, I don't know if the Pentagon itself, the Department of Defense, is covering up its own UFOs. But if they wanted to, they could do what they're doing in this report. Because it's essentially like a kid having a bunch of stolen... This happened in my family once. Before I was born, my uncle, he had a bunch of milk duds that he got from a movie theater. And this was back in the day when, like, you know, when you bought candy at a movie theater, it was big. It was actual fucking candy. And he had it, like, stashed all over his room. And my mom and my aunt, like, knew about it. And, like, they'd go in there and he'd have chocolate all over his face. But he'd say, no, I haven't got any milk duds. Basically, it's that. But instead of, like, their parents, my grandparents finding... Going into the room and investigating and finding stacks and stacks of all these milk duds, it's like saying, hey, there's rumors that you have milk duds stashed all over your room. We would like you to go into your room, look around, and come back with a signed piece of paper saying whether there are or are not milk duds in your room. So he says, okay. And he comes back and says, here, I have no milk duds, signed, my uncle. That's what this is. So, conspiratorially speaking, sure, I can say, oh, this is all bullshit, I'll never believe it. But in reality, if you're a skeptic of UFOs, and that's fine. I mean, I'm skeptical too. I don't know that they're there. I have not seen them. Or, I mean, aliens, really. UFOs, many people have seen them. But that's a UFO, a UAP. specifically aliens, though, or extraterrestrial technology. Someone saying that they are aware of a program or a place where a dead alien is stored, or a UFO metamaterials being in possession of some. A skeptic would say, they always do, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Fine. I would hope that they would approach this report with that same attitude, because this report does not offer, never mind extraordinary anything, it doesn't offer evidence for the most part, very rarely. And when evidence is presented, it's just counterclaims. Someone says, I know a guy who touched a UFO. Well, no, we talked to him, he said he didn't. That's literally, well, that's the first little story I'm going to tell you. The first passage that I'm going to cherry pick from to give you an idea of what this entire report consists of. The Department of Defense, All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, report on the historical record of U.S. government involvement with Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena UAP, Volume 1. Volume 2, is that coming? I don't know. Is George Michael's Listen Without Prejudice Volume 2 coming? No. Yes, because the Pentagon was mandated by Congress to provide this, and Congress tried to get in on the investigation, and the Pentagon just kept walling them off. We talked about that on a previous episode, and this is the result. A self-investigation. And like I said, counterclaims to UFO claims. So let's take a look at one and just start getting into the highlights of this fucking thing. I'm going to start off with what is pretty seemingly irrelevant and tiny passage in this report. But to me, it's very, very symbolic of the whole thing. Now, this comes in a section that I'll talk about a little bit more later in terms of the context of it, but it comes in a section where they're just listing off a bunch of claims about UFOs in the military and debunking them. In most cases, in a lot of cases, they just leave it alone. But in some cases, they debunk them, such as this one. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. This is 40 pages that's supposed to cover 80 years of history. This is on page 32. This takes up about 20% of the page, just for this. Allegation that a former U.S. military service member touched an extraterrestrial spacecraft. An interviewee stated that a former military member, who was also an interviewee, had stated that he had touched an off-world aircraft. Arrow contacted and interviewed the former military member, who denied any knowledge of off-world technology in possession of the government, a private contractor, or any other foreign or domestic entity. The former military member attested that he could not remember if this encounter with the original interviewee had ever occurred, but opined that if it had happened, the only situation that he might have conveyed was the time when he touched an F-117 Nighthawk stealth fighter at a facility. The former military member signed an MFR, attesting to the truthfulness of his account. So, let me unpack that a little bit, because I feel like it says a lot. And I feel like it speaks volumes to what this fucking thing is, this report. A guy says, I talked to a military dude who said that he touched a spacecraft. They talked to the military guy who says he did not touch a spacecraft. And that is it. He said. Case closed. But it's the whole, like, why throw in, well, if that did happen? There's two footnotes in this paragraph, and they say, Arrow Case Files. What a missed opportunity, as much as I hate that phrase, for those two guys to have sat down and hashed it out, and then they could have put the transcript of that, so we could have gotten the full context of, you know, okay, gentlemen, thank you for your time. Sir, please explain the situation in which you feel that this gentleman told you he touched a spaceship. Well, Bo, we were at Barbara's funeral, and you were very distraught. You were very melancholy. I remember you said, life is too short for secrets. And you told me that you were at one of your secret facilities, and you touched an extraterrestrial spacecraft, and you were very clear. And the other guy says, oh, okay. I get it, Ramsey. I of course, I remember Barbara's funeral, and it was a very sad day, and I was distraught. And I did say, now that you mention it, I do remember saying that life was very short, and I didn't want to keep a secret. But I've told you I touched a jet. The secret part that I had to get off my chest was that there was a sign that specifically said, do not touch this jet. I don't know where you got UFO from that, but you say I, by the way, Mr. Government, is it, I am free to, like, I'm free from security repercussions, right? So I it's okay that I didn't, it's fine that you touched the jet, sir. It's fine. Okay, good. Because that's what happened. I touched a jet. And you thought I had a UFO, touched a UFO. So that's the end of it, right? Oh, one more thing, sir. Are you aware of UFOs being in possession of the government or even private entities, perhaps adversarial entities, perhaps domestic projects? No, I just said I didn't touch a ship. Even if I did, which I didn't, I touched a jet. But even if I had touched a UFO, I wouldn't know where it came from. But no, you know what? No, you're right. No, there's none. Not in foreign possession, our possession, any private corporation. You're right. Absolutely not. Ramsey, fuck off for making me think about Barbara's funeral again. All right. You get the point. Sorry, I like riffing on that stuff because it's ridiculous. I don't know how anyone could have ever thought that I touched a spaceship. Come on, man. What are we doing here? Just say, I don't know where anyone got that. It reminds me of the time that Mr. Charlie Crabtree and I were riffing on The Mandalorian. Werner Herzog keeps asking The Mandalorian if he agrees with stuff. Bounty hunting is a complicated business. Would you agree? Yeah. No. Yes. Yes. Yes, I agree.
If you touched a spaceship, was it from foreign or domestic entities?
None. All, none of them. Sure. I agree. All right. Enough about that. Let's get to something that is near and dear to my heart and that is actually discussed in some depth in this, which is Roswell. Now, obviously Roswell, it's the godfather of all these UFO stories. So it's got everything. It's got a cover-up. It's got bodies. It's got spaceship, the whole thing, the military hiding it. So as you can imagine, just like in the last little bit I talked about with the guy touching the jet, hard-hitting research, no stone unturned by the Pentagon when it comes to investigating Roswell. And here's what they had to say about it. Of course, they left every stone turned. They didn't do shit except report things that have already been reported, but let's hear how they did it. According to press reports, President Clinton tasked former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger to determine if the government held aliens or alien technology. President Clinton said, as far as I know, an alien spacecraft. Don't do the Clinton. As far as I know, an alien spacecraft did not crash in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. If the Air Force did recover alien bodies, they didn't tell me about it, and I want to know. In 1993, Congressman Stephen Schiff made inquiries about the Roswell incident to the Department of Defense. Roswell incident refers to the July 1947 recovery of metallic and rubber debris from a crashed military balloon near Roswell Army Airfield personnel that sparked conspiracy theories and claims that the debris was from an alien spacecraft and part of a government cover-up. He asked the General Accounting Office to determine the requirements for reporting air accidents, such as the crash near Roswell, and to identify any government records concerning the Roswell crash. The Air Force conducted a systematic search of numerous archives and records centers in support of the GAO's audit of Roswell. As part of this review, the Air Force also interviewed numerous people who may have had knowledge of these events. Secretary of the Air Force Sheila Widnall released them from any security obligations that may have restricted the sharing of information. The Air Force then published the Roswell Report in 1995, which included the report of the U.S. Air Force research regarding the Roswell incident by Colonel Richard L. Weaver, and the synopsis of balloon research findings by First Lieutenant James McAndrew. Results. The report stated that the U.S. Air Force's research did not locate or develop any information that indicated that the, quote, Roswell incident was a UFO event, nor was there any cover-up, in quotes, by the U.S. government. Rather, the materials recovered near Roswell were consistent with a balloon of the type used in the then-classified Project Mogul. No records showed any evidence that the U.S. recovered aliens or extraterrestrial material. Air Force subsequently published a follow-up report in 1997, the Roswell Report, case closed, with additional materials and analysis which supported its conclusion that the debris recovered near Roswell was from the U.S. Army Air Force's balloon-borne program. The alleged alien bodies reported by some in the New Mexico desert were test dummies that were carried aloft by U.S. Army Air Force high-altitude balloons for scientific research. Reports of military units that allegedly recovered a flying saucer and its crew, that means it's in quotes when I say it stupid like that, were descriptions of Air Force personnel engaged in the dummy recovery operations. Claims of alien bodies at the Roswell Army Air Force Hospital were most likely the result of the conflation of two separate incidents. A 1956 K-97 aircraft accident in which 11 Air Force members lost their lives, and a 1959 manned balloon mishap in which two Air Force pilots were injured. This case closed book, I've talked about it on this podcast before. I own this book because the Air Force, this wasn't like a publication report like this thing is. This was an actual book that you could buy. And I bought it and I have it. And it's garbage. It's just like this report. But this idea, again, that first of all, they say there was no cover-up. But there was. First, the military said they recovered a flying saucer. It's a famous headline that we've all seen. Then they said it was a weather balloon. And then they made poor Jesse Marcel, the fucking intelligence officer at Roswell Army Airfield, go pose with a picture of tinfoil and say, oh, this is what I found. When he had told, you know, he even showed his son some of the pieces of what he found, and there's all the weird markings on it, and it was this unbendable metal and all that stuff. I mean, look, maybe that was some piece of military technology. We don't know. But it sure as shit was not a sheet of tinfoil, which is what he posed with for that famous picture of him holding up a bunch of cigarette packages taped together or whatever the fuck it was. And then, only after Stanton Friedman and Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt and all those guys started investigating this thing, they finally came out with their first Roswell Report book. Said it was not a weather balloon. We admit it. It was an Air Force radar detecting balloon. You know, we're spying on the Soviets. Couldn't tell you at the time. Had to cover it up. And then, after more pushback, 2 years later, then they released their famous case closed book with the, okay, finally we'll talk about the bodies. They were just dummies, and they also fell out of a balloon. Fine. But here's the thing that just kills me about this report. That's their research. Their research is that they just picked up a copy of Case Closed and put some shit from there in it, including the most ludicrous explanation for anything that to me is more ludicrous than a UFO, that people thought there were dead aliens in the hospital because of they were thinking about two different things that happened over a decade later. One of them, a time a couple of guys were hurt, and another one, a time where some guys died. God rest their souls. But again, like that's all conflated into Roswell. And I don't want to nitpick on the whole hospital part of that story because it does get weird. But come on, really 12 years later, 10 years later, two different things. One of it involving dead bodies, one of it involving just a couple of hurt guys. Yeah, that's Roswell for you. Once again, case closed. The 1997 piece of fucking fiction. Oh, boy. Look, I don't know. Again, I don't know that there were aliens at Roswell. I don't know if there were aliens at all. All I know is that this report, just like Case Closed did in 1997, didn't change my mind about anything. It only made things more ludicrous, as does this. So I guess, you know, for comedy's sake, things are better with this report being out there. I've always had fun at the expense of Case Closed, and I can continue to do so now, thanks to this fucking report. All right, so moving on from Roswell to something a little more modern day. OSAP and ATIP. The good old fashions. OSAP was a government program that was given funding at the direction of Harry Reid, the Speaker of the House, former Speaker of the House, which, by the way, apparently in the original version of this report, it listed him as being a Senate Majority Leader from New Mexico, not Nevada. George Knapp reported on that. In the version that I have my filthy clutches on, he's listed as Nevada, so it's been corrected. But I'm not going to, you know, pick on that one little thing. Say, oh, there's a typo in it. It's clearly wrong. You know, but it does. It says something. So in 2008 to 2010, he got money for this program to assess long-term foreign advanced aerospace threats to the United States. And it was called OSAP. But Harry Reid, very interested in UFOs, very concerned and questioning of what the fuck are these things? What does the Pentagon know? I want to know. He is no longer with us now, so he will not get to read this fantastic report. But it does talk about OSAP, and then it talks about ATIP, the Advanced Aerial Threat Identification Program, which replaced OSAP. Now, I really hate talking about these two things because they get so confusing, and this report really takes advantage of how confusing they are to let the Pentagon let itself off the hook about what ATIP did, while also still being able to claim just enough knowledge about it to tell you that it didn't mean anything and they never found anything about UFOs with it. So the report says, DIA established OSAP in 2009, which was also known as ATIP. The contract was awarded to a private sector organization. The names OSAP and ATIP have been used interchangeably for the name of this program, including on official documentation. Unlike OSAP, ATIP was never an official DOD program. However, after OSAP was canceled, the ATIP moniker was used by some individuals associated with an informal, unofficial UAP community of interest within Department of Defense that researched UAP sightings for military observers as part of their ancillary job duties. And then they go on to describe that the primary purpose of OSAP ATIP was to investigate potential next generation aerospace technologies, such as that, things like that. But they always use it as OSAP slash ATIP in order to say what I just read to you, which by the way was in bold italics, that whole thing about it never being an official program and the informal community of UFO people within the Department of Defense. They're saying just enough to be like, this was a private thing. This was people, you know, part of their ancillary duties, but not, they weren't, there was no money devoted to that. That's not what they were supposed to be doing. That's not what they were there for. But they did do that stuff, but it was, you know, it was no big deal. It's not on us. However, we can tell you that they didn't find anything. And then they fucking bring Skinwalker Ranch into it. And they use it as like a hit piece to throw out all this like voodoo jargon to make all of the stuff that ATIP was doing sound crazy. Because it says OSAP/ATIP, which, by the way, it went out of its way to tell us they were not the same thing, but kind of the same thing. And whatever. OSAP/ATIP also investigated an alleged hotspot of UAP and paranormal activity at a property in Utah, which at the time was owned by the head of a private sector organization. So Robert Bigelow owned it back then. Including examining reports of shadow figures and creatures and exploring remote viewing and human consciousness anomalies. The organization also planned to hire psychics, study interdimensional phenomena, believed to frequently appear at that location. DIA did not seek nor specifically authorize this work. Private sector organization, blah, blah, blah. Goes on about that. So, again, when it's something that they don't want to completely put their hands on, it's private sector, but we know enough to say that, yeah, private sector, so it wasn't us, but they didn't have any UFOs. But also, that's them, that's not us. A lot of that happens. So they're having it both ways, all the time. All the time with the both ways. But here's some new stuff for you. They get to a part called Section 5, where they do an assessment of interviewee claims of government involvement in hidden UAP programs. And it's twofold. There's a primary narrative that they have assessed, and then there's a secondary narrative. The primary narrative is essentially your standard UFO lore. They specifically mention that there are many claims that there are 12 spaceships that the government or a private corporation is in possession of. The old Bob Lazar thing, 12 UFOs. They say, we found no empirical evidence to support that. That's it. No, there's not even a footnote. They found no empirical evidence. They talk about that they've interviewed 30 people, and they gave them like lottery numbers so that they wouldn't know who each other were and they could protect their privacy. Whatever, however that works. They don't really explain it, but everyone got a number. And they all told them their stories. And the government, the Pentagon here, they just list out these stories. And in some cases, they say, we found no evidence of that. And in some cases, they just don't say anything. For example, let me just give you a short one. An interviewee said that a family member was part of an effort to reverse engineer an object assumed to be an off-world technology in the 1980s. The engineers failed to reverse engineer the object, and it was sent to a different facility for further evaluation. That's all it says. It just goes to the next guy, or girl, or whoever. An interviewee pointed out to Arrow the existence of an alleged leaked Special National Intelligence Estimate from 1961 as proof of UAP crashes. Arrow obtained a copy of the document through open source research and evaluated its authenticity. Doesn't say that it wasn't authentic, but I mean, you know, open source, again, is just going and finding stuff that you and I could have and may have read already. The secondary narrative, though, this is very interesting and appropriate. And this is one of the very, very few places where they don't completely tie the knot. The secondary narrative is that a cluster of UAP sightings that occurred in close proximity to U.S. nuclear facilities have resulted in the malfunctioning and destruction of nuclear missiles and a test reentry vehicle. Arrow interviewed 5 former U.S. Air Force members who served in and around ICBM silos, and then they named several bases, between 1966 and 1977. So there's a limitation there, since there have been many sightings and incidents of UAP and nuclear facilities since when fucking Star Wars came out. But it goes on. Some of these individuals claim UAP sightings near the silos, while others claim UAP disruptions to ICBM operations. Specifically, they said, ICBM launch control facilities went offline or experienced total power failure. Additionally, one interviewee and an Air Force videographer claimed to have observed and recorded a UAP destroying an ICBM loaded with a dummy warhead mid-flight. ARRW was researching U.S. and adversarial activity related to these events, including any U.S. programs that tested defensive ballistic missile capabilities. So they talk about how that will be reported in Volume 2 of their report, which is supposedly from 2023 on, but I guess they're going to have to go back and like clarify some shit that happened 50 years ago at a nuclear base. But they do leave the door open a bit on that. Now, what are they going to find? Well, I'll tell you, so that we can save ourselves the trouble. They will find that there was some sort of military program existing at the time that was responsible for that, because they have used that a number of times in this report. They go on with a laundry list of military projects and say these are the things that would have been mistaken for UFOs. One of my favorites being a Dark Star, which was like a weird satellite, and a Grateful Dead song. But the Grateful Dead song, unless you're frying on acid, was not mistaken for aliens. But just as a personal note on the nuclear thing, if there are aliens here, I really hope that's why. Rather than just carving up cows, abducting people, fucking stealing hubcaps. You know, let it be because they want to stop a nuclear war. Even if it's not for our benefit, it doesn't really matter what their objective is or what their particular takeaway is from it. You know, maybe it's just that they know that if we detonate thousands of nuclear missiles and blow this fucking planet up, that it might free General Zod from the Phantom Zone, like Superman 2. I mean, that was just one nuclear missile that Superman threw out into space. And look what chaos happened from just one. Imagine how many General Zods there are floating around in phantom zones in space right now that are going to be freed if we have a nuclear war. And that's probably their main concern, not our well-being. And speaking of movies, one of the reasons that the government has been accused of having UFO secrets, alien secrets, and so forth is just because we watch too many fucking movies. And even podcasts. Specifically, are named. I'll get to it in a few. But it's our fault, basically. That's what it comes down to. It's our fault that they even had to go through all this shit. If we had just stopped with all the movies and the Area 51 and all that, and the podcasts and the pop talk and the aliens, they could just go about their business of doing the Lord's work all the time. And they get to that in Section 7. The historical context of UAP investigatory efforts since 1945, where they say, ARRW assesses that the incidents of UAP sightings reported to government organizations, the claims that some constitute extraterrestrial craft, and the claims that the government has secured and is experimenting on alien technology, most likely are the result of a range of cultural, political, and technological factors. ARRW bases this conclusion on the aggregate findings of all U.S. government investigations to date, just, all the links and shit that they read and case closed books and stuff. So there's that. Then, the misinterpretation of all reported name-sensitive programs. So our fault, misidentified. And ARRW's assessment that the piece of metal alleged to be recovered from an alien spacecraft in the late 1940s is ordinary of terrestrial origin and possesses no exceptional qualities, which is something they mentioned earlier and get into all that. But that was their one bit of like actual research. There was a claim that there were these metamaterials, piece of UFO from the 40s. ARRW, and just trust them. Scientifically, they looked at it and they said, no, it's fine. It's normal. It's been kicking around for all these years and all these different people think that doesn't make sense as something that was created on Earth by nature or by human beings. Yeah, it's just normal alloys. It's fine. So, okay, let's just say it is. Either way, that's just one thing in the many reasons. And then they go on to say, although many cases remain unsolved, primarily because of the lack of actionable and researchable data, Arrow and its predecessor organizations concluded that the vast majority of case reports on events that amount to ordinary objects, atmospheric and natural phenomena, and observer misidentification. Although many UAP-UFO cases remain unsolved, based on the lack of evidence of the extraterrestrial origin of even one UAP report, and the assessment that all resolved cases to date have ordinary explanations, Arrow assesses sightings and claims of extraterrestrial visitations have been influenced by a range of factors. And then they go on to list what those are. International security environment, technological surprise, you know, making weapons, making crazy spy planes and all that. Sure, misidentified all the time, especially back in the day before we knew that those things existed. And they loved it back then. They thought it was great that people thought those were UFOs. People were climbing up on telephone poles, freaking out. I don't know why I always get that image. There's always an image in my head whenever I think of people panicking over UFOs, of someone climbing up a telephone pole. I don't know how that etched itself into my brain. Because even if you were in a complete panic about something in the sky, why would you take yourself from the ground to a position that was even more in harm's way, potentially, if there was a UFO up there, by climbing up a telephone? I don't know. I have to joke about these things because, honestly, this shit. If I have to say atmospheric phenomena again from one of these reports, if it was that easy, why is it still happening? Honestly. I mean, we're going back to Project Blue Book with the atmospheric phenomena and misidentification and weather balloons. We're back to square one again. But if we're going to be at square one, let's just stay there as far as the government's concerned. Let us paranoid lunatics form our own theories and conclusions. And then if Congress wants to keep pushing on this, which they will, they can. But like, just enough with the reports, man. You don't need reports on what you want us to believe you're not doing or are doing. Okay, I ran that rant over, and I got the telephone pole thing out of the way. So, secrecy. Talk about U.S. government needs to maintain secrecy. Got to protect classified information, intelligence sources, methods, military operations. Yes, absolutely. Of course we do. Especially in times like this. Because I want to believe, and I know many of you who listen to this podcast are not in the United States. You know, the majority are, but I know quite a few from other countries. As an American, and for all of you fellow, you know, NATO listeners, I hope we do have some secret shit that they haven't told us about that can, like, blow up nuclear bombs in space. So, you know, hopefully there is that. I'd rather just be aliens. I feel like they'd be better at it, but nevertheless, there is a need for secrecy, for sure. But what they say in this report is that the gap in information has created ufology, that they put in quotes, to fill that gap. Arrow assesses that the classification of U.S. government investigations has fueled speculation that the government was hiding knowledge of extraterrestrials, when in fact secrecy was and is still intended to deliberately and thoughtfully protect sensitive military programs, capabilities, etc. Public interest. Segments of the American public have been interested in this topic ever since the term flying saucer emerged. On and on. Project Blue Book. Alleged bureaucratic barriers. So this part's Congress's fault. Because investigatory panels have claimed obstruction, lack of access. They've claimed that? There is that. This report is that. Congress wanted to get in on this. The Pentagon said no. Alleged insufficient data and information. They talk about not being able to, you know, measure altitude and speed from the information that they have. So it's, you know, there's a frustrating lack of data. It's one of the few tiny things they leave unsolved. And, you know, but they've said earlier, as I read to you, that the majority of them they've solved, and the fact that not one of them is an alien, which, by the way, only one would need to be, but nevertheless, the fact that not even one of them was an alien means that there are no aliens. Perceived deception is another reason. Conviction amongst some Americans that the government has conducted a deception operation to conceal the fact that it has recovered extraterrestrial spacecraft and alien beings and systematically exploited reverse engineering technology. This perception has probably been fueled by key UFO investigators' public comments. For example, J. Allen Hynek of Project Blue Book said that the Air Force expected him to perform the role of debunker, and Captain Ruppelt, the first chief of Blue Book, later wrote that he was expected to explain away every report and that the Air Force sought to produce press stories in alignment with their position. That's the end of that section. Perceived deception, and then they mentioned two guys that came out, and, you know, J. Allen Hynek, Project Blue Book, he's one of the, you know, the giants of ufology, as they call it. And these guys worked on Project Blue Book and said these things that I just read to you. And then this report just says, well, that's part of the reason. It's because people that worked on these things publicly said that they were told not to say anything except the party line. Decreased public trust. And then, of course, popular culture. Arrow assesses that UAP content in popular culture is more pervasive now than ever. The speed of discovery and the ubiquity of information available through the internet on the topic is unprecedented. Frequent exposure to the topic, though traditional and social media have increased the number of Americans who believe that UAP are of extraterrestrial origin, based on a 2021 Gallup poll. I mean, yeah, the internet is a thing. And it can perpetuate narratives. It can also bring information that one would not normally get. And this is my favorite. Segments of the American public have been interested in this topic since the term flying saucer emerged after Arnold's sight, Kenneth Arnold, who saw the orbs and stuff before right before Roswell. His sighting in 1947 as evidenced by the proliferation of television, books, movies, and podcasts today on the topic. The subject is deeply rooted in popular culture with its own themes, mythologies, and conspiracy theories. So podcasts are part of the reason even. I appreciate the shout out. You know, I'm going to wrap it up there because what else is there to say? It's your fault and it's my fault. And anything that the government doesn't quite know about, and it'll be in volume 2. And also it was a private organization. And we didn't have anything to do with it, but we know enough to know that there were no UFOs. I mean, not even one. Not even one. I think that's my favorite line. Not even one. Can you imagine if there was one? We did find one case of a dead alien, but that, compared to the sheer volume of misidentifications and so forth, we hardly think that that's of note. There we go. We're back to square one, and you know what? Let's not do it yet. Let's not end the show yet. I got to say one last thing. This is very important. This is very important. This is not a baseball joke or anything like that. This is important regarding the fact that we have 80 episodes now. Took 8 years, but hey, 80 is 80. On my 80th episode, I want you to know something about every previous episode, including this one. Anything that you may have heard me say that was regarding what you might interpret as spaceships, extraterrestrials, UFOs, dead aliens, reverse engineering, and the like. It's important that you understand that you were mistaken, and I was only talking about the time I touched a jet. Cue the hot chick.
Pop Talk and Aliens, the William Clear Podcast.